Welcome to the Impact Master's Commission Bible Study Podcast. Join us as we study the Bible verse by verse. I'm your host, Pastor Josh Hawkins. We're going to have some deep, thoughtful, and hopefully helpful discussions to try and discover together what it means to be the followers of Jesus. What are you studying? Family Ministry, Comprehensive Guide. I probably need to buy that book. I'm just kidding. Even if I did buy it, I wouldn't read it.
Yeah, we don't have to read the whole thing. Like, the parts that are marked are the sections I have to read.
I see,
We don't have to read
the rest of the book is garbage. Why would I?
Hey, talk to Pastor Rhonda about it. She has everybody that goes through youth the Lord can try to raise this book.
Oh, wow, really? That kind of ministry is, well, all ministry, I guess, but that kind of ministry in particular is harder now than it's ever been.
Oh, the author of this book is the dean of the school of the Baylor School of Social Work at Baylor University.
Okay, great.
I know someone who goes to Baylor.
Are they Mormon?
Baylor's not Mormon,
though. Yes, it is. Well, it's in Salt Lake City, I think. So.
No, it's in Texas.
It's in Texas.
But it's a lot of Mormon population, I think.
I thought it was in Salt Lake
City.
No,
Baylor's in Texas. No, it's because I met him at a camp I went to, and the camp was more, I forgot a word for it, but definitely wasn't a Mormon camp.
Getting it mixed up with,
What's his name? Actually,
there is a big university in Salt Lake City, but it's named after
he's not
Joseph Smith, but the next guy.
So he went to Baylor, and he still goes to Baylor, but there's a Chi Alpha group at Baylor University, and that's where like he became saved and stuff.
Yeah.
So
a good majority of the Baylor like students is Mormon.
Yeah, like because it's a private university.
What's that guy's name?
I don't know who you're talking.
Not Joseph Smith. His next.
I don't know who Joseph
next
Smith
guy.
Is.
Oh my gosh.
Okay,
so
colleges in
so Joseph Smith is the founder of the Mormon religion, but this next guy is the one who really like solidified
so
everything.
What does Mormons believe in exactly? Because I only asked because I'm pretty sure that's the religion that my grandpa and his family was in, and then. He left it, became a Christian, and so they cast him out.
Well, they still talk about Jesus, but they added a new... There's another book after the New Testament. Plus, they have their own version of the New Testament, which is slightly different from ours.
Brigham Young University?
Brigham Young! There it is! That's the guy.
Is the Mormons the ones where they can have multiple wives?
Well, okay. Modern Mormonism would not be okay with multiple wives. But back in Brigham Young's day, absolutely they were. And in fact, that was an important part of the church at the time.
It's in Provo.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yeah, but like it's one of those kind of like anyway, it's in Mormonville.
It's sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yes. Yeah. Which is the same thing as Mormonism.
Yeah.
Mormon.
The
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that's those people are Mormons. It's just like Islam is the religion, but you're a Muslim if you belong to Islam. The Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints is the religion, but you're a Mormon if you belong to that church. So here's the idea, okay? This guy was a Christian. His name was Joseph Smith. And then he had this encounter with the angel Gabriel, where, or maybe it wasn't Gabriel, but there was an angel involved. I think it was Gabriel. Where Gabriel led him to this place where he found these golden tablets. and then gave him special glasses so that he could read the golden tablets, because you couldn't read the golden tablets without these glasses, which were called the Urim and the Thummim, by the way. And so he translated the golden tablets into the Book of Mormon. And it's all about how Jesus, after he rose from the dead, came to the United States and preached to the Native American nations, certain ones, which were actually the lost 10 tribes of Israel. That's not, none of this is true.
Okay.
And there's all these stories and whatever, and so that's the Lost Testament. That's like a, it's a whole new Testament.
Oh, okay.
About all this. And he was the prophet of this new version of Christianity that was a return to what Jesus originally taught, and having multiple wives. So, and the idea is, now I might get this mixed up a little. No, I think this is right. Because I always get Mormonism confused with Seventh-day Adventism. They're very different. So, the idea is, No. I always get Mormonism confused with
Jehovah's
Witnesses. That's different.
Hey, I want to know about what they believe in here. Cause
my aunt got snappy with me about Jehovah's Witnesses. My aunt was a Jehovah's Witness for like 7 years.
My whole mom's side of my back is a Jehovah's Witness. And my sister's Jehovah's. And I've been to the Kingdom Hall multiple times.
Sure.
I've been pinched by a random old lady for like sleeping. And they have like church type chairs. And I'm like, this just like gone. And it was horrible. It sucks.
The only thing I know about Jehovah's Witnesses is that they're not allowed to celebrate anything. I don't know that because my favorite show, one of the cowgirls is a Jehovah's Witness. And so he ain't allowed to like celebrate anything, and like not even his birthday or anything. But they want him to celebrate Christmas, and so his friend was like, "Just think that you're a spy for the Jehovah Witness, so you want to know like why they celebrate." And he's like, "That's a good idea," and so that's how they celebrate.
My aunt said it's because of the paganistic background behind holidays, and that's why they don't celebrate.
Yeah. Well. Yes and no. They take the scripture that says, that Paul says not to celebrate the Sabbath or the new moons or whatever, like that we don't, you know, that where Paul is saying that observing Judaism, you know, is not really super compatible with following Jesus. And so they take that scripture and they apply it to all of this kind of stuff,
also,
all of these different celebrations.
Was bad at that because she still celebrated holidays.
They're not supposed to drink alcohol or caffeine or any of that. Yeah, and a lot of the Mormons don't do that either, which is a whole other thing.
But here's the thing with the, like, they're not supposed to do something, but they do it. It's the same thing with Christians. Like, we're not supposed to do something, but we do it because we're human.
Oh, sure.
You
yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Like, my aunt sucks. But my aunt actually actively never celebrated any holiday. Except for Thanksgiving. Like, that was her thing. That was her dream. But she doesn't, oh, it's not Thanksgiving. We're just having a meal. Nah, she was Catholic.
Well, the, and both of those religions are American. They began in this country.
That kind of makes sense.
Which is interesting. And they're both kind of like, let's look at Christianity and let's do something connected to Christianity, but that's radically different. And I think, if I'm right, that, oh man, see, I always get them mixed up, because I think Jehovah's Witnesses actually believes that, like, Jesus and Michael the Archangel and Satan are all, like, brothers.
I think I've heard that before.
And that they are the descendants of Jehovah.
I can call my aunt.
Yeah, let's not do that. Anyway, so, yeah, that's interesting. So did you guys come up with something that you wanted to talk about, or?
I legit was thinking about, like, the difference of, like, religions that are, like, similar, or, like, not, like, those
different
two, like,
religions within the Christian.
Well, let's boil down. What do you have to believe to be a Christian?
Well, Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later to forgive us from our sins.
Okay. So, Jesus' death and resurrection.
Yeah.
I need a different one. This Jesus' death and resurrection, depending on your church, background, is in early church talk, is all one event, which is called the Paschal Mystery. This word means lamb. So, that's one thing. Jesus' death and resurrection.
And then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
So the Trinity.
Yeah.
So God in three persons.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just taking as occasional guesses here, but I'm pretty... I know for a fact the death and resurrection. But like, yeah, Trinity also.
Well, what does this say about Jesus?
That Jesus is the Son of God. But, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the divinity of Christ.
The divinity?
That means Jesus is God.
Okay.
The only thing...
So do you have to believe in the divinity of Jesus to be a Christian?
Yeah.
I was gonna say because not all like denominations believe in the Trinity.
That's true. That's true.
Like
you're right.
Apostles, they don't believe in
you're right.
The Trinity.
But they would say that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God. They just don't believe that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are different persons. Do you see the difference there? They would say, yeah, that's all the same guy. He just has different names at different times.
Mm-hmm.
That he's not three in one, he's just one.
So
but
like,
all three of them are him. So they would still believe in the divinity of Jesus. In fact, that's, you know, like when they baptize people, they say, in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they believe Jesus is God. But they also believe Jesus is the Father. And they also believe Jesus is the Spirit. So, the divinity of Jesus, yes. Trinity, not necessarily. But this is my question. What do you have to believe to be a Christian? Christian?
Christian, well, you got
what do you have to believe to be a Christian?
This question was made for you. You better answer it.
Just give me one idea.
Holy crap.
Okay, holy stinky.
My mom just keeps on sending us pictures of my backyard in our family group chat because they're chopping down all the trees in our backyard, the city is, because they're doing construction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so...
What do you have to believe to be a Christian? We've got two things on the board. We have the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have the Trinity and or the divinity of Jesus. What else? Is everybody in this room a Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, then you ought to be able to answer this question. Come on.
Jesus
was
born and
saved.
That Jesus was crucified on the cross.
What was that?
That he's
Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Jesus was, yeah.
He died and rose.
Odessa, you mentioned this one again.
Yeah.
Okay. That Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
I was just saving that for everyone else. Totally know that.
He definitely did that. Was
okay, are these two things the same thing?
No.
Yeah? No,
no they're not, because you can be a Lord of somebody and not save them.
She's like, correct.
That's why we refer to it as Lord and Savior.
Yes. We want both of those.
Yes.
We don't just want one of those. Because if you say, Jesus is my Lord, the demons can say that too. Well, not really, but... If you say, Jesus is my Lord, means he's in charge of me. But he's not my Savior.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that say Jesus is their savior, but they don't treat him like their Lord. It's important. Anybody else? Come on. Feed me. What else?
Feed me more.
That he can do miracles.
Okay. Jesus. Let's say omnipotence.
The way, the truth, and the life.
Ooh. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What about, what do we think about the Bible?
It's the inspired word of God.
Okay, the Bible. We've talked a lot this year about what inspiration is, but we won't do that again today.
I don't remember. The Holy Spirit inspired holy men to help this JPQ go. The Holy Spirit inspired holy men to...
Anything else?
Speak the truth from here.
Anything else?
What all do we got up here?
Well, right now we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We have Jesus died and rose from the dead. We have the Trinity and divinity of Jesus. We have Jesus can do miracles. We have Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We have the Bible is inspired by God. What? Anything else? Because you haven't mentioned anything about
the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And we haven't mentioned anything about being saved.
Once saved, always saved.
Your spirit is saved.
Do you believe in once saved, always saved?
But what does that mean? Okay, so we go to heaven, right? If we're saved, or just everyone goes to heaven?
No, the saved people go to heaven.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Baptism of the.
So we talked about Jesus' death and resurrection, but what do we believe about this?
Jesus was hung on a cross, died, and 3 days later he rose again.
Right. why do we care?
Because he forgave us of our sins.
Because if he didn't, our faith would be useless.
Oh, okay.
What
does that mean, our faith would be useless?
I don't know, that was a joke.
If he didn't actually do that, then what we would believe in would be like worthless, because if he didn't actually die on a cross and we believe that he died and rose again, and that's what, like, through him, it's the only way to heaven, and we believe that, but like if that never happened, then it'd be worth, like, what we believe in would be nothing. We would have wasted our lives.
Right. If this isn't true, then there's no point in believing.
Like Luke Fain used to say.
If that's not true,
yeah,
then there's no point in believing. Right? So, Jesus' death and resurrection were forgiven. His resurrection, I'm going to add this one. His resurrection means we will also be resurrected.
Ooh, that's good.
Okay? I don't know if there's two. Okay?
There's two C's. No, I'm kidding.
I don't care. So. Okay. So, I want to, do you know what the Apostles' Creed is?
No.
We've talked about it before.
Yes, we have. Not Apollo Creed. The Apostles' Creed. Okay? The Apostles' Creed.
It's been so long since we talked about it. I feel like it was last year when we talked about it.
No, we talked about it this year for sure.
Really?
But
probably
we did. Because we did one class where we went through the 16 fundamental truths, and I know that I quoted the Apostles' Creed to you. I know I did. But
you probably
the Apostles' Creed early in Christianity, really early, like in the first 100 years, okay, when Christian legend says that there's 12 statements in the Apostles' Creed because the 12 disciples each added a line. I don't know if I believe that or not, but very, very early, like extremely early, there was that people were asking this question: what do we believe as Christians? And they came up with this thing which was called a baptismal creed. Okay? Which means, in order for me to baptize you in water, which baptizing people in water was how they joined the church. Okay? In order for me to baptize you in water, I have to know that you believe the basics. And they put together this creed, and that you had to memorize and be able to recite this creed. And sometimes it was a question and answer thing. Do you believe in... And you could just say yes. So you didn't have to memorize it. But most of the time they memorized it. Okay? And it went like this. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's all the stuff we believe about Jesus.
Yes.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. And that's all they said about the Holy Spirit. He's mysterious. The Holy Church, it's actually Holy Catholic Church, but it's actually Catholic small c, which
Why
means
c?
Because this is an adjective, mm-hmm. not a noun.
Oh.
Which means universal.
Gotta love grammar.
Okay. If I said Catholic Church with a big C, that would mean I'm pointed to a specific church saying that church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the Holy Universal Church. In other words, everyone that follows Jesus fits under this category.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in the Bride of Christ. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church.
Okay.
The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. All right, did you catch all those?
No.
Okay, I believe in God the Father, and then it says a couple things about him. It says he is the maker of heaven and earth. Okay? Jesus Christ is only Son, and it tells his story, including death, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement at the right hand of the Father, and his eventual return, and the final judgment. That's the story of Jesus, okay? I believe in the Holy Spirit. We don't really know what else to say. We just believe in him. I believe in the church. I believe in the communion of saints. What's this? What's the communion of saints?
People drink the bread and the wine.
Right. Not wrong.
No.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
This word communion.
Breaking.
Is not about bread and wine. That's what we call it, right? We call it communion. But that's not what it's about. That's not what it is. It's about our connection with each other. Yeah. That God has called a people and that we are one in Christ.
So we don't have to drink bread and water.
Why? No, we do.
We do.
I mean, we don't have to, but Jesus commanded us to, so we do.
So we do.
We do. But that drinking of the bread and the wine is a symbol of this.
It's the symbol of the community of saints.
Okay. Yes. Which is why Paul says, hey, before you take communion, you should really check your heart and make sure that you are good with the rest of the church and that your relationship with the church is not broken. Because you're symbolizing your unity in Christ, and yet you are not unified with each other or with Christ. So that's a problem. And he says, that's why some of you are sick. That's kind of intense.
We're sick.
He says, that's why some of you are sick. That's even why some of you have fallen asleep. Literally, we've been inviting the attack of the enemy by living in disunity while professing unity. That's crazy. That's a lot. So the communion of saints is that. It is our connection with one another. And of all of these things, this is the one we really suck at right now. We don't talk about it. We don't know about it. We don't understand it, especially in the United States of America. This is missing. Okay, the forgiveness of sins is the next one. We like that one.
That one's a good one.
The resurrection of the body. Ooh. The resurrection of the body. You know that body that goes into the ground when you die does not stay there?
No.
On
the actual physical flesh?
Yep. At Jesus' second coming, that body will be raised from the dead.
So the zombie apocalypse?
No. We will not be zombies.
We will be more alive
than we have ever been.
What if they were cremated,
like
though?
Our flesh had deteriorated.
Our flesh will be completely restored.
So,
be inside of us.
No. Even, like,
that's
the
magic right there.
We will be resurrected. We will have brand new bodies that resemble Jesus' resurrected body. So Jesus, like, walked through walls. Jesus transplanted and, like, just moved at the speed of thought, like, we're going to have that kind of body, the same kind of body Jesus had after he rose from the dead. Okay? And there was a tradition in some churches, in the early church, when they would say the resurrection of the body, they would then thump themselves on the chest and say, this very body. Like they're telling their bodies, you will rise from the dead. I think that's awesome. I'm going to speak to my flesh and say, you will rise from the dead.
Wow.
Because that's true. I like to say that at every funeral that I do because people don't know it. So, they think, I just go to heaven when I die. Well, yeah, that's true. But there is coming a day when you will rise from the grave, just like Jesus did.
So they're going to get a new body when Jesus comes back and rise from the
dead? A renewed body.
So, like, if they were cremated, what's going to happen? Like,
what's the difference between cremation and putrefaction? Okay? If you rotted away to nothing...
Yeah. Oh, that is true.
What's the difference between that and... This is God for whom all things are possible. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay.
So, fun fact.
The maggots.
My brother's
What
dad.
Are you worried about the maggots for?
You and me did.
Trust me. You're not worried about people who were totally,
well,
like, gone, like, no more maggots even. But you're worried about maggots?
Yes.
I'm not worried about maggots.
You
would literally have to have died, like, really soon after, and then the resurrection happens, for there to be maggots in play, like, at all.
But wait, well, what if I'm cremated?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, I'd feel better if I'm cremated and he brought me back to life.
Doesn't matter.
That would be weird. Fun fact, my brother's dad recently passed away, and he got cremated, and my sister-in-law's only obligation with my brother getting some of his ashes was they have to leave with my brother. Like, they have to go on my brother's truck with him when he leaves. And he hasn't been doing that. And so his ashes are just chilling in their what is it called, hutch thingy, Bobby? And my sister-in-law is very creeped out with them. And, like, they pulled them out of the sleeve thing, and there's still bones in it, and my sister-in-law is like...
Yes, there are still bones. None of that's an issue. We will rise from the dead, just like Jesus rose from the dead. From the dead, and the God who created us in the first place is not going to have difficulty recreating us. That is not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So don't. And there are Christians that refuse to be cremated because how would my body be resurrected if I get cremated? And it's like, come
you
on,
can do it.
Let's think for a minute.
I prefer that than maggots in
you
my
know,
body.
The, let's. It's going to be okay. Exactly. Okay.
Hey,
so the resurrection of the body. And life everlasting. Okay? That is what the early church these are the things you have to believe to call yourself a follower of Jesus. That's how they felt. Them's the basics. I want you to notice, even while we look at what's there, I want you to notice what's not there.
What's not there?
There's a lot of stuff that we mentioned, not there.
True.
Does this say anything about how you voted in the last election?
No.
Does not. Does this say anything, I'm going to get super controversial right now, about human sexuality? Does this say anything? Does this say anything at all about whether women can preach in church?
No. Wait, and these are the things that make you
this
Christian.
This is the stuff. We will not make you a part of the church by baptism and water unless you agree with this stuff.
Okay.
God the Father created the world. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who is our Lord, we said that earlier.
Yeah.
Born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried, descended to the dead. Most people don't even know what that is. Anybody know about that? Descended to the dead? We can talk about that in a minute. Third day, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's what we believe about Jesus. What do we believe about the Holy Spirit? We believe he exists.
Because he's mysterious. Like
he is mysterious.
He's like the quiet kid that you just know he's there.
Yeah. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about what the Holy Spirit does, but almost everything I would tell you about that is interpretation. And this was written before the Bible was. Now, not all the Bible. Some of the Bible was, before about half of the New Testament. We had this before we had about half the New Testament.
Okay, so, with all this in mind, what is the sure way to get into heaven? Bill say you will get into heaven when you do this.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. But I also want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really why we're saved?
No. But I'm just curious because if all that's mentioned and like you said, like that has nothing to do with like sexuality, none of that.
Nope.
The church would be so pressed. So, and they say it's because like we want to save the lost, right? And I get
it. Yes.
Right? So, are these people going to go to hell?
Depends.
On what though?
Yeah.
Okay. So what if they have faith in Jesus?
That's it.
That's all they need to go to heaven?
That's
faith
all
in
anybody
Jesus
needs.
And repentance.
Do you have faith in Jesus, Odessa?
Yeah.
Do you sin every day?
Yeah. Okay. That was a great way to explain it.
Not hard.
It's not hard, but people make it hard.
Well, faith in Jesus has to be real, though.
Uh-huh. So what if you have faith in Jesus, but every day you're living in sin and you're choosing sin?
Well, I would say every day I'm living in sin and choosing sin.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I have faith in Jesus, but every day I'm choosing sin. I am trying. I am trying to become more like Jesus every day.
Okay.
There will not be a day in this earthly life when I will not sin.
Mm-hmm.
I know that to be true. I wish that wasn't true, but it is true. And so how do I, a person who is going to keep on sinning the rest of my life, even though I don't want to,
yeah.
How do I point at somebody else who just has a different set of sins than me?
Yeah.
And say, I'm getting in, but you're not. Mm-hmm. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is it. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because who is the one saving you?
Jesus.
Are you saving you?
No. Wait, so, okay.
Is your pastor saving you?
No.
No. He is saving you. And so this word right here, I'm going to change it to a word that makes more sense to you and to me.
Mm-hmm. So,
trust.
Question. What makes a prodigal a prodigal?
Real prodigals are people that no longer trust in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, trusting in Jesus, will always have evidence.
Mm.
If you trust him, there will be fruit.
Yeah.
There will be evidence of that in your life. Okay? And if there's no evidence, you probably don't actually trust him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay? So we say, it is trust in Jesus that saves us. And I hate saying it that way because that's a stoop. Nobody says that in real life. It is my trust in my seatbelt that saved me in that car accident. No, you put it on.
Mm.
That's what saved you in that car accident. Does that make sense? Is everybody with me right now? Okay. All right. So you might say you trusted Jesus, but did you put him on?
No.
Well, I would say.
But like in certain cases, like.
Did, right? I might trust in my seatbelt, but did I put it on? Okay. So Jesus is the Savior.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when I die trusting. Knowing I can't stop myself from dying, I cannot stop what's about to happen. I have no control over what is happening. I am dying. And when I die, I am dying trusting that Jesus is going to do what he said he was going to do. And I have no control over whether he does it or not. But I really honestly believe that he will. And so I'm not afraid of death. Because I trust Jesus more than I trust death. So when I die, I'm trusting that Jesus is going to show up and he's going to take me to be with him until my body is resurrected later. By the way, I'm trusting him to do that too. To raise my body from the dead later. Because he said he would. And because he rose from the dead, which was his proof that he could rise me from the dead. Is all this making sense?
Yes.
Okay? But if I trust Jesus and then ignore everything he had to say about the way that human life should be lived, do I really trust him?
No.
That's what I'm saying. So even if I trust him, even if I say I trust him, if I don't put him on, right? What does that mean? That means the things that he had to say about human life, I'm going to trust in the things that he had to say about human life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to trust in what Jesus had to say about my life. So I'm going to love my neighbor. I'm going to love God. I'm going to try and do the things that Jesus taught us to do. Mm-hmm. Because I trust him.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, if you love me, you will do what I command you to do.
True.
Does that mean I'm going to get it right every single day?
No.
No. I'm going to get it real wrong. This is a learning process. This is difficult. But when I put my trust in him, there will be fruit. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it is not my fruit that saves me. It's Jesus that saves me. Does this make sense?
Yes.
So what I'm saying is, someone that has truly trusted in him, even if it was just for a few seconds, Jesus is faithful and he will rescue them from death. It doesn't matter. None of the rest of it matters. But people that have trusted Jesus their whole lives are going to keep putting him on. We're going to keep... You know what? Jesus told me this, and I trust Jesus, so I'm going to continue to live the way that he told me to live, and my life is going to become start looking more like Jesus more and more all the time. I'm going to learn how to love God and love people, because that's what Jesus taught me to do. Okay, all of this other stuff. This is, by the way, this is how Jesus summed up the teaching of the entire Old Testament.
Love God.
Yeah. He said, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. He said, you know that whole Old Testament book? It's really great. You should read it. You should learn it. You should memorize it. But if you want to summarize it, it's here. This is all God wants for you. This is all God wants for me. This is what it looks like to live a truly human life. Do you want to be happy? Learn this. Do you want to live a life that's untouchable by death? Learn this. This is eternal life. Loving God and loving people.
Okay, I have one more question.
Yeah.
It's completely off topic, though, but it came into my
Go.
Mind because so we're in my youth group and we were trying to they were just telling them the commandments and the cuss one came up, right? And it was so hard to describe what a cuss word was because it changes a lot.
The cuss one.
Yeah.
Like, which commandment is that?
Do not use the Lord's name.
The name of the Lord in vain. That's
yes,
that's a great one. So is that about cussing?
I have no idea, but that's what people do. That's what people say it is.
Is that about cussing? Oops, sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It was my fault.
It really
wasn't your fault.
One of the students there was like, is the N word a cuss word? And this one lady, self-righteous, was like, if it offends people, then it counts. Don't say it.
Ooh,
ooh,
ooh, ooh.
So there's like, I need an explanation.
So, we're going back to the Ten Commandments.
Uh-huh.
Thou shalt.
Shalt? Isn't
not. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was
just
shall.
Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain. What the heck does this mean? That's his name, by the way.
Yahweh.
What does it mean to take the name of the Lord thy God? What does it mean to take the name of Yahweh? So just eliminate this part for a second. Okay, we'll get back to that. What does it mean to take his name?
To
say...
I don't know. I know a lot of people say, like, OMG, like, saying that is, like...
Right. So does this say the name of the Lord in vain?
No.
No. So this right here, this word in the Hebrew means to carry.
Mm-hmm. Take means carry.
Yeah. So let's say that you were to be adopted.
Uh-huh.
And you have a choice when you get adopted. Are you going to take my name?
No.
No, what do you mean?
My children got their last name from me.
Oh, not their moms?
No.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife, when she married me, she took my name. My last name, my family name. My children, therefore, they have my family name.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking my name.
Okay.
Now imagine that they go out into the world.
Yeah.
And they become horrible people.
Ooh.
They become mass murderers. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the name of Hawkins becomes a horrible, scary thing.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Uh-huh.
They took my name in vain. Because they took my name, but they look nothing like me.
Oh.
They took my name, but they didn't act like me. They took my name, but they misrepresented me. And now because of what they have done, people hear my name and they think horrible things.
Like some Christians.
Exactly.
Okay.
They are carrying or taking the name of Jesus or Yahweh in vain. This isn't about, oh my God. This isn't about saying, you know, Jesus Christ when you're upset about something. That's not what this is about. It never was, never shall be. This is about carrying the name of Christian, carrying the name a follower of Jesus, but not putting him on and not doing what he said, just loving God and loving people. It is turning and souring the name of God and the name of Jesus in the eyes of the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is not about cussing.
So cussing, like, where does that come in? Is it against
the
parents?
That's later. But we need to talk about this first.
Okay.
I'll get there.
This
is not about cussing. This is not about saying, oh my God, this is not about that. This is about you, Israel, I am adopting you on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And these Ten Commandments are the terms of our agreement. One of them is, I am putting my name on you, Israel. So don't you take my name in vain. Don't get out there in the world and act and do and live all the things in the ways that I have not taught you to live and still consider yourself one of my people. Does this make sense?
Yeah, it's like a mom saying, when we go in the store, you better not act foolish.
Absolutely. One of my friends, his parents used to always say, you're embarrassing the family.
Yeah.
They were joking. They didn't mean it. But that's it. And that's what this is. And you see how this is a way bigger thing than whether or not you're using the name of Jesus to curse?
Yeah.
Way bigger. Way bigger. In fact, this was so important to them that everywhere in the Old Testament, almost, that they saw the word Yahweh, which was God's covenant name, they would replace it with Lord.
Oh.
Because God's name is really holy, and we don't want to take it in vain. So, and it's, if you look in your Bibles and you see it spelled all caps,
yeah,
in the original Hebrew, that was Yahweh.
Oh.
Yahweh.
Which means, what does Yahweh mean?
It's Yahweh. Just God's name, right?
Yeah, but it has a meaning.
Okay.
The name Yahweh is Hebrew for I am.
Oh, yeah, I'm great, I am.
Okay,
I am.
So that's what this is. Okay? Now let's talk about cursing. The Apostle Paul talks about cursing.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul says, hey, keep that dirty language out of your mouth.
Keep my wife's name out your
mouth. But that's exactly what he said. That's what Will Smith was just doing this.
Yeah.
That's all he was doing. Now he was doing it in a not appropriate way at all, but he was doing this. He was saying, don't you speak her name. That's exactly what he was doing. You have no right to speak my wife's name. And he slapped the crap out of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Just recently, Chris Rock had a whole lot to say about that on Netflix.
He was something else on that. I watched it.
Honestly, that was, to me, was the only funny part of the whole thing. I watched the whole thing.
Literally.
But that was the only funny part of the whole thing. The rest of it, I'm going, dude, I don't know how I feel about you. But anyway, that's what this means. Okay, so then Paul says, hey, we love each other, and we love other people.
Yeah.
And so you shouldn't be talking all that dirty talk. You shouldn't be making those disgusting jokes. You shouldn't be saying things that make other people feel unloved and uncomfortable.
Okay.
So if we're going to talk about cussing, we need to go to Paul, not the Old Testament.
Okay.
Because it's not there. It's not there. But Paul tells us, if we're a people who love God and love people, then we shouldn't say all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff's, it makes you look bad, and it makes people feel bad, mm-hmm. and it's just not, that's not who we are.
Yeah.
So in a way, when you talk that way, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. Mm-hmm. But not because you used his name. No, because you're talking in a way that's dishonoring to God, and but yet you claim to be God's.
Mm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those two things are connected in a way, but that's not what God was telling us in Exodus chapter 20.
Alright.
Does this make sense?
That does make sense. And with that in mind, the N-word is not a cuss word.
Oh, so it's not a cuss word, but it's not a good word.
It's not a good word, but it's like different for different people.
It is different for different people. That's absolutely correct.
It was described really well. I don't know who said it, but it's like, say for instance, you and your wife, right?
Yeah.
You would call your wife like honey or sweetie or words of attention.
I would.
But if a random dude walked up to her that has that not that type of relationship with
right.
her and called her that.
That would be offensive.
It'd be offensive.
Yeah.
So me going to my fellow black person, me, hey, what's up, and then saying it,
yeah.
that's one way. But when somebody who's not part of the community and we don't have that type of relationship says it, it's kind of like that.
I love that. I love that. It's inappropriate for me to say that because
yeah.
I don't have that relationship with you.
Exactly.
Right? But for someone who is in the same community with you to use that term towards one another, that's a whole different thing because you have a relationship with each other. And I don't have that, so I can't say that, and that's fine.
But
I'm all in on that. I'm absolutely.
Thanks for going into detail, because a lot of growing up, whenever even answering the questions in JBQs like what's the Ten Commandments, I'd be like, don't cuss as one of them.
Yeah.
And so that's been a widespread notion.
Don't cuss is not one of the Ten Commandments.
Wow.
Can we talk about cussing for just a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Now Paul says we shouldn't use coarse language. We shouldn't use suggestive language.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, almost all cuss words are one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, they have to do with sex, mm-hmm. or they have to do with something foul and disgusting.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I just called her a female dog.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of.
Right. I would say, and a lot of what we would call cuss words are also misogynistic.
They are. Yeah.
Okay. For those of you, does everybody know what misogyny is? Okay, that means it's sexist. Okay? It's prioritizing male realities over female ones. Think how many bad words there are about female genitalia. And then think about how many bad words there are about male genitalia.
There's only one.
Only one. Maybe two. But there's a lot around female genitalia. In fact, the word that a lot of people are like, I'll say everything, but I won't say that, is specifically about female genitalia. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I got these looks like, what word is he talking about?
I know what word you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
Text it to me.
Somebody put it in the group meeting.
No, don't do that. I am not comfortable with that word. But think about that. Why is there that disparity? Shouldn't it be the same? But it's not. It's not the same. Why is it not? Because cuss words are misogynistic. Almost always.
Wow. I don't know how much time we have left, but there is something that I've been wondering about. It's like this buzz, not, and I don't know if it's necessarily the church community, but it's like the role of like men and women, right? Because men have been in charge of the earth for so many years, and like, look what it's done.
Right.
And people say that women were really, really good leaders. So was at like, what was Adam's and Eve's role? What were they put here to do?
Because
Adam did come first.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
So, like, what's the verdict?
I don't think women would have been better leaders than men.
Okay.
I just don't. I think it's easy to point the finger at men.
Oh, yeah.
And say men are what's wrong with the world, because we're the ones who broke the world the way it's broken now. But if women had been in charge, they would have broke the world different than men, but it would still be broke. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And the problem isn't man-woman. The problem is power.
Oh.
Power corrupts. Always. Power, every single time, power corrupts. And people get power, and the more power they have, the worse they become. That is real. That has been proven. There's been thing after thing after thing after thing that has shown that human beings cannot be trusted to have authority over other human beings.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And the more you lower the amount to which this person's power can be questioned, the more ugly they get. Okay? So, for instance, there was a study done back in the 60s where they put all these people into this, like, building, and then just randomly they went, prisoner, guard, prisoner, guard, prisoner, guard, prisoner, guard, right? They gave the guards and prisoners different uniforms. The prisoners were given numbers, but the guards were able to use their own names. Okay? It didn't even go 24 hours before the guards were doing horrible things to the prisoners. And the prisoners just took it. They hated it, but they just did what the guards told them to do. The guys running the test had to shut it down because they were like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Because what happened was one group of people, completely chosen at random, were given absolute power. And the other group was not allowed to question that authority. And they snapped into these roles for the rest of their lives, these people that were involved. They did that same study multiple times. It happened every single time. And it didn't matter if it was men or women or didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter. As soon as you're put in these roles where you have absolute power and zero accountability and you have no power, all of a sudden the group with absolute power would be just horrifying to the group with. It was unbelievable. And they had no idea. They were like, what in the world is going on? And go look it up. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's studies like that a lot. Like the one where the girl just stood there and had a whole bunch of objects. And like people were free to do whatever they wanted. And it was just crazy.
Yeah, because humans can't be trusted with power. And a lot of feminists like to say, men have destroyed the world. But I would tell you this, women would have done the exact same thing. And they would say, no, women are nurturers, women are whatever. But when you look at the way women treat each other, when there's no men involved, it is not okay. And I would say in some ways it is really darker than the way even men have treated women.
Goes way deeper. Like,
yeah.
You said that earlier, like, we would have just did it in a different way. I instantly thought of the Hunger Games.
Yes.
And like snow versus coin.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were pretty much like the same,
right.
Like, you know?
And what did Katniss realize, and why did she end up killing coin?
I didn't get that far. I knew she killed coin.
All right.
But I don't know the why.
what she saw was the same thing that had been work in President Snow was still at work in President Coyne, to the point where Coyne was saying, we need a new Hunger Games, and everybody agreed.
To the Hunger Games?
And she was
like, Katniss agreed, though.
No, she didn't. But,
that's why
but
she killed her.
A lot of other people did. Because here's the problem. It was the malformation of all of these people. These people had existed under a system that had broken them. And so even when you gave the victims power, they did the same thing that had been done to them.
Yeah.
They just turned it around on the other group of people. And Katniss was the one going, this is not okay.
Yeah, but she did vote in favor to gain like her trust,
she did.
Though, right?
She did.
And then
because she knew in that moment, I need to kill her. I have to end this.
That was that whole last part of it when she did that, that was so confusing for my little mind.
I thought it was really beautifully done because Katniss, having lived under the boot of that kind of power for so long, smelled that power in somebody else who was supposed to be a liberator and realized that can't continue. That has to end. And so she acted to do that. And I thought that was brilliant. I loved that. I think that's amazing.
It's such a good movie.
The problem is always power. Power is the problem.
P stands for problem.
It's real. The way, and Jesus came to show us what power is supposed to look like. Okay? Because what did Jesus say when Jesus talks about power? And if you don't know, it's because powerful church members who enjoy their authority and power are threatened by Jesus' messages about power. And so they don't preach on it.
Write that down and go look at it later.
Okay? Jesus said, well, here's the story, you know. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, come to Jesus. In one of the gospel stories, it says their mom came to Jesus. Another story, it says it was them. So they probably had mama with them. And they were saying, hey, we want to sit at your right hand and at your left. We want power. When you come into your kingdom, you're a rising star, Jesus. You've got power. We want to be with you in power. And Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. He said, in this world, the powerful are always oppressing those without power. But I don't want it to be that way with you. He said, that's not how this kingdom works. In this kingdom, the greatest of the kingdom is the what?
Servant.
Servant alone. And then in Philippians chapter 2, and this is the verse that you want to look up. Philippians 2. It says, talking about this same issue. Guys, I really believe this is one of the most important verses for the church in America in this day. It's this right here. Philippians chapter 2. It says, have this same mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though having power, being found in very nature God, who has more power than God?
Nobody.
Having power, decided that was not worth holding on to. Depending on your interpretation of the Bible there, it'll have different ways of saying this. Taken advantage of. To be clung to be, there's a couple different, because the Greek there is really interesting. Okay? But the idea is, he had power and he decided, I'm not interested in keeping this. And it says, so he took on the form of a servant. And became subservient even to death, and even death on the cross.
Nathan quoted that Sunday on the platform. Or not Nathan, Pastor Ron.
Pastor Ron. Jesus said, I have power. I'm God. I have power. I've got all the power. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to go low, and I'm going to serve. A week from Thursday is Maundy Thursday. Anybody ever heard of that?
No.
I think that's right. I think it's a week from Thursday.
I've never met a holiday that'd be on Thursday.
Maundy Thursday. Well, what's Sunday? This coming Sunday?
Easter.
No, not Easter yet. No. That's in 2 weeks. What's this coming Sunday? The Sunday before Easter is?
Passover.
Palm Sunday.
Oh.
Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday.
What is Palm Sunday?
That is the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everybody said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They waved their palm branches, yeah, they put their palm branches down on the ground so Jesus could come in. That's Palm Sunday, which begins Passion Week. So this whole week is a special week that we call Passion Week because it ends on Friday, which is Good Friday.
This Friday is Good Friday?
Not this Friday, a week from Friday.
Okay, so next week is Passion Week.
Yes.
This Sunday starts the next week.
Correct.
Okay.
Palm Sunday. We don't really have names for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
They're not special.
But, well, we still in the great tradition, there's still, like, verses to read, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But then we get to Maundy Thursday. Now, what happened on Maundy Thursday? This word right here means washing feet.
Oh. We should all get pedicures.
If you want to come to my church on Maundy Thursday, we're going to have dinner together.
Really?
And we're going to talk about Jesus.
Well,
and we're going to have the washing of feet.
How far are you?
What's that?
What do you have?
For dinner?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a carry-in. It's a carry-in.
Oh, it's a restaurant.
It's a carry-in. No, not a restaurant.
No, it's like people carry.
People bring a dish to share.
Oh, it's kind of like a potluck.
So it's a potluck. It's about 40 minutes north.
That's not horrible. I don't know who.
So, it'll be at 7 o'clock, or dinner's at 6. If you want to come and join us.
Y'all got to work.
Maundy Thursday service, okay? And we will have a foot washing station for anybody that's comfortable enough to have their feet washed.
Free pedicures.
Not a pedicure. We're just washing feet. That's all. Okay? Because what did Jesus do? You know the story? It's in the book of John. They're all having supper. And Jesus steps out as supper is about to be served, and then he comes back in, and all he has on is his servant garb with a towel wrapped around his waist. And he has this big bucket, and he walks up to, you know, his first disciple, and he kneels down, and he takes their sandal off, and then he starts to wash their feet.
Jesus?
Yes.
He washed their feet, and then he would dry them off, and they're all kind of looking at him going, what the heck is he doing?
And this is back in B.C. when they was wearing them Jesus stepper sandals.
He washed their feet. He gets to Simon Peter, and Peter is like, you are not washing my feet, Jesus. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, then you have no part in me.
Oh.
And he was like, then wash my hands and my head. Jesus is like, it's okay, Simon. Your feet are the only thing that are dirty right now. So let me wash your feet.
Right now.
Right? That was Maundy Thursday. And then Jesus says to them, as I have done this for you, now you must do this for each other. And did he mean washing their feet? No. Although we still do that to remember that. He meant serving them. This is what power looks like in the kingdom.
Serving each other.
Yes. What is the purpose of power? What is the purpose of authority? To serve. So the higher you go in the power structure, the more of a servant you should become. The less your life is your own, the more responsibility you have to serve as many as you can. That's how the kingdom is supposed to work. It's not the bigger spotlight you have, the bigger stage you have, the more money you make, da 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 da. No, the kingdom says, Jesus says, that is wrong. No, that is not how this works. It is not how the kingdom is supposed to work. The kingdom says the more power you have, the more people you're supposed to serve.
Wow. Jeff Bezos needs to take notes.
Yeah. So does every celebrity pastor in the world.
True, true.
We're done.
We're done? Okay.
Yeah, we're done.
Next week.
Oh, wow. We did go.
Are you going to be here next week?
I will. Will you?
I have no idea.
We'll be here next week.
It'll be the Tuesday of Holy Week. I don't know what that's called.
Tuesday.
Holy Tuesday.
Do you have our
calendar? We didn't talk about, we need to talk about descending to the dead, which is Holy Saturday.
Okay, Holy Saturday.
Okay. Good Friday is when Jesus died on the cross. Holy Saturday, we talk about what Jesus did while he was dead.
He was doing. I thought
he was busy.
Okay, period.
He was busy.
So we'll busy.
And it's fun. It's really fun. I love talking about it.
We'll be here all...
The Eastern Church refers to it as the harrowing of hell.
We'll be here all the Tuesdays of April.
Of April? Great.
But May is when things get free.
Okay.
There's only...